gentleness within us. He wants to develop gentleness within us. And the gentleness that God speaks of needs defining, because it's not necessarily the definition that we give gentleness. It's what we find in the New Testament. The Greek word for gentleness in the New Testament spoke of a soothing medicine or a light, cool breeze or a horse that has been broken or tamed. Each of these can be very, very powerful, a powerful force that can be quite destructive. Medicine, take too much, you can be in real trouble. A cooling breeze or a hurricane, a wind, a powerful wind, a horse. However, when these things are under control, they can be more than helpful. Gentleness in Scripture refers to strength being under control. That's the Greek definition, strength that is under control. Consider rushing water, how powerful it can be, but rushing water through turbines of a dam generating electricity to light a whole city would be power that's under control. Water out of control, and here in Queensland we know it pretty well, a flood, floodwaters destroying everything in its path. Gentleness is power under control. And when you consider the power of God, you might think that he could be wild and untamable. After all, he just speaks and things happen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Bang, just happened. And by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all the starry host. And the power of God's word was given to Moses when he spoke 10 plagues into being. Immense creative and destructive power. Our words also command great power that need to be under control. And James wrote about the power of our words in James chapter 3. He said, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and they are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." James is right that no human being can tame the tongue. We need someone else to tame it for us. James goes on, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." And he finishes with these words, "My brothers and sisters, this should not be." So for us, the fruit of gentleness is best seen as we control our tongue. For the tongue can be so destructive. Physically, we can also command great stress at times, great strength at times, and there too we need gentleness. But the tongue can be even more destructive. So how do we see gentleness displayed in Jesus' life? And this is the perspective at which we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. How do we see gentleness displayed in Jesus' life? Jesus had great, great power. He calmed the raging sea. He delivered demons out of the frightful man of Gadarenes. His power, he broke 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish, but he fed thousands, thousands with it. He walked on water. He raised the dead back to life. He could do anything if he so chose. But his strength was wrapped in peace. And that's gentleness. Strength under control. Strength that is wrapped in peace. When he was arrested in Gethsemane, Peter took out a sword to defend Jesus. And Jesus said to Peter, "Do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way?" He could command 12 legions of angels. Now that's 72,000 angels. All at once, but he didn't. Rather in gentleness, strength wrapped in peace, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Gentleness is a countervalued value of our world. And the irony is that the leaders of Jesus' day feared Jesus' strength and power so much so that they nailed him to a tree. Being gentle is to leave room for the workings of God's will. And God will not break a bruised reed. Jesus set little children on his knee and he told them to come to him without fear. To come to Jesus without fear. He was gentle with the woman caught in adultery, not because he was unjust or unrighteous, but he gave room for her to recover from her sinful ways. And through his forgiving love, he gives her a fresh new start. He was so gentle with her. But he's also very gentle with her accusers. On another occasion, Jesus made a detour to Samaria to meet another adulterous woman by the well. She'd had 5 husbands, and the man that she was now with was not her husband. But Jesus didn't judge her. Rather, he led her to salvation. For he came to seek and save the lost. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And when Jesus noticed Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector who the Hebrew people hated, despised, Jesus invited himself into his house, and his gentleness touched Zacchaeus in a way that nobody else could. Or did, and that changed Zacchaeus' life. Rather than destructive, his language was constructive. For gentleness is strength wrapped in peace, and it is restorative. You see, gentleness is displayed through our concern for the needs of others. And again, this is best displayed or illustrated by the way that Jesus was a servant. He came to seek and save the lost, as I've already mentioned, but he taught his disciples that the least shall be the greatest. Servanthood. He set down this example for us. In Matthew 21, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her, a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what the prophets had spoken. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here Jesus describes himself as gentle. And he could have ridden a horse into Jerusalem that day, just as the kings of the days did as they returned to their city after conquering a neighbouring army. But no, Jesus chose to ride as the humble king on a lowly donkey, declaring that the least shall be the greatest. And then a few days later, he washed the disciples' feet and he asked them to wash each other's feet. And then the servant king died. With such power at his command, he surrendered to the Father's will. Such power under control. We read in John 13, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. These verses are declaring that all power and authority were in his hands. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. And yet he washes his disciples' feet. Jesus set down a spiritual principle here. Greatness is defined by servanthood, which has gentleness as its foundation, strength under control. And you and I, we all possess a degree of power over others through our actions and through the use of our tongue. But gentleness places the power, that power under control, and it is for the well-being or the best interests of others. The all-powerful God also demonstrated his gentleness as Jesus hung on the cross. If you considered that, as Jesus hung on the cross, the all-powerful God, the Father, demonstrates his gentleness, seeing his Son there in agony, constrains his unbelievable power for the good of our salvation. For those of you who are parents, if you saw your child, one of your children, in extreme agony, would you do nothing? God's power under control for our salvation. Now, the only other reference of Jesus as gentle comes in the words that we've read this morning from Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble." Jesus says that he is gentle. His power is under control, both physical and spiritual power under control. He could have taken on Satan in the wilderness and defeated him, but he didn't, because that wouldn't have saved us. For we were trapped in our sin. And our salvation is upon faith that his death has paid the price for our sin. And in these words, Jesus offers us rest for our souls. And such rest is on the basis of his gentleness with us. As we come under his control, we put our strength under the strength of his control. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, you'll find rest for your souls. The yoke is the crossbar that is used to harness the strength of a pair of oxen. It's similar to the bar that is used to connect the collar of horses in a wagon. And often a young ox would be yoked to the older ox, an older ox, to learn the trade and to work efficiently. And Jesus encourages us to come under the pulling power and the direction and learn from him. This is a picture of gentleness, not weakness. It's strength under control. Our strength under the control of Jesus' control. Now, how gentle has God been with us? How gentle has God been with you? We're often like the young oxen, raring to get into it and show off our strength, but in need of gentle persuasion to settle down, because there's a long day of hard yakka ahead. Being gentle means that we choose to hand over our power and control to someone else, to hand it over to God, to put it under his control. The power of our words then need to be tempered with love, grace, and mercy. And we only love because God first loved us. This is why Jesus says, and this is why we keep returning back to John 15 in this series, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Letting God control our tongue, because humanly speaking, we can't control it. But God can. I came upon this definition. Gentleness is having the right, the power, and authority to do something, but choosing to bring it under control to fulfill a higher good, God's will. As we've been reflecting on Christ's character, we see Peter's advice to us being lived out in Jesus. Peter gives us some advice about being gentle, but we see it lived out in Jesus. We see the unfading beauty of Jesus' gentle and quiet spirit, which was of great worth in God's sight. These are Peter's words encouraging us to pursue the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. 1 Peter 3:4. You know, an apple tree doesn't think about growing apples. It produces apples because it's an apple tree, because the branch is connected to the life source. So it is with a believer, us as Christians. We only produce righteous fruit because we are connected to the life source, Jesus. So may we cooperate with him to see him produce the fruit of gentleness within us. All for the glory of God and all for the benefit and the blessing of his church. Amen.